Hi, I'm Simon Devereaux, Director of Global Talent Development at Framestore, and welcome to the Framestore podcast, a learning and talent development focused podcast made by Framestore for Framestore. In this two-part episode, we are back in the world of labs. Regular listeners will remember Labs executive producer Jocelyn Dibourne on episode 25, recommending we invite Derin Oradunni, Lab Support Engineer, and Sophie Thompson, Junior Creative Developer, onto the pod as his guest wish list. Well, we take these requests very seriously on the Framestore pod, and we made it happen. So here we go, episode 41, part one of the Framestore podcast, our second lab special with Sophie Thompson and Derin Oradunni. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Framestore podcast, episode 41, part one. Every 2 weeks, we invite both a guest from our global Framestore community and a co-host with a keen interest in our guest's role, craft and career path, and we let the magic happen. On this week's pod, we continue to change things up once again with not one, but two special guests that will take on the Framestore podcast dailies, our 13 question grilling that will extend across today's part one and part two that will be out this Thursday. And in this episode, we are revisiting the fascinating world of labs. So let's do the intros in no particular order. We have Derin Oradunni, a graduate of the University of South Wales with a visual effects and motion graphics degree. Derin started her visual effects industry career in the Framestore systems team in February 2020, quickly working her way up to labs support engineer, where she's been since May 2022. Joining Derin is Sophie Thompson, a graduate of the Manchester Metropolitan University with an MSc in industrial digitalization. Sophie spent time in a number of teaching roles during her studies, then spent over 2 years working as a teacher in Seoul, South Korea. During this time, she worked as a freelance visual artist, subsequently joining Framestore as a runner in May 2022. A 3 month secondment as a content designer followed, then a move into the labs team as junior creative developer in January of this year. Yes, you guessed it. It's our second labs team special. I should say that I'm very excited to have this conversation as regular listeners to the podcast will remember labs executive producer Jocelyn Dibourne on episode 25, recommending that we have you both on the pod as his kind of guest wish list. So here we are. Welcome to the podcast, Sophie and Derin. How are you both?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Ah, yes.
It's good to have you both.
Glad we finally got to do this after all this time.
I know, right? This has been a long time in the making. I mean, we were going to do this in October last year.
Yeah.
Or was it earlier than that? Was it the summer last year we were going to do it? And I've been hounding you ever since.
Yeah, I think just before October.
Yeah. And then, you know, your very stacked agendas and travel, because I know, Derin, you spent some time in New York, didn't you?
Yes, that's where I was when we tried to do this the first time around.
Yeah, I was quite keen to get a kind of live from New York kind of angle, but we just got too busy, yeah. Didn't we? So here we are. I'm a kind of man of my word. We got you on the podcast, and I'm very excited to get into this. And we've had various discussions, haven't we? I know, Sophie, you spoke to our recent Launchpad crew about your route into industry, and I'm keen to elaborate on that. And Derin, you got involved with quite a lot of our Access VFX initiatives towards the end of last year as well. And I think there's a lot of conversations that you've both kind of started with those exchanges that I'm keen to kind of pick up, if that's okay, as we go through this episode. But good to have you both on the podcast. How is the world of labs at the moment? What's going on? What are you working on? I know that's one of the official questions, but it's my nice big open preamble question that I like to ask anyone. How's life in labs?
I think Darren's life is a bit more exciting than mine, so she can go first.
I would say it's the opposite. I think that just shows that, you know, it's very, you know, it's constantly changing. And I think that's one of the things that I've enjoyed the most since being in this team, the fact that we have such varied days and responsibilities. Like, some of the work that Sophie's been doing has been amazing, and how quickly she's kind of jumped right in and learned the system and the processes that we go through in labs. But I think it's exciting. It's exciting to see what we do this year and where the department and the team as a whole will be going.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good to get a sense of the difference between both of your roles. So, of course, Darren, you're a lab support engineer, and Sophie, you're a junior creative developer. But I'd love to get a take from both of you as to what that means, particularly through a kind of labs lens, because you would have listened to the podcast we did way back, feels like years ago, when I spoke to Johnny and Jocelyn. But if anybody was listening closely, I was just having this whole geek out moment where I had no idea what labs did. And I came out going, what? They do stuff for NASA? They do stuff at the London Stock Exchange? What? So I'd love to get a bit of an idea of what your remit is, both of you professionally, if that's okay.
Okay. Well, as a junior creative developer, I feel like my role's kind of a bit special in how it works. I kind of work across a few departments, like production, design, and the creative dev team as well. My role's kind of versatile in the way that I work. So I do like a bit of code. I take like designs from the designers and recreate them in our content management system. So, you know, I need to have animation skills and design skills for that. Mm-hmm. I also work a lot with clients doing demos and training sessions with them. So, yeah, it's not just that I am sitting doing like code. A lot of the time I'm doing other things as well. And I think that's the most exciting part for me. You know, every day is different.
Yeah. And your MSc, Sophie, in industrial digitalization, I've never heard of that degree. I've been on the planet for almost 50 years. Come across that. Is that, I mean, that, I'm assuming there's an obvious link to what you do in labs now, but how did you identify that particular MSc out of interest?
Well, when I was doing my animation degree, I did a lot of like model making, a lot of 3D printing, projection mapping, like that kind of thing. And so I kind of just fell into the masters naturally. But as well as the 3D printing aspect of that, we learned a lot about Industry 4, the current trends of what's going on in terms of like things like AI and like body scanning. What else did we learn? It was amazing, actually. I really enjoyed my master's degree, and I feel like I learned a lot about the industry in general, not just from a animation perspective, but you know, tech and UX/UI. It was very informative, and so I learned a lot there that kind of helped me when I came to labs, learning code, and you know, just knowing what's actually going on in the world is very important.
And when we met back in 2022, wasn't it? Right, because that's when I started just in like the January of the same year as well. So what I'm quite excited about this episode is you both were involved in different ways with the global mentoring program that we have at Framestore. And I remember, Sophie, you signed up with a very specific ask to get a labs mentor, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, this is my memory. And I spoke to Johnny Dixon the first time. I'd never been in touch with Johnny because I was still really new. And Johnny said, look, we haven't got enough people to offer mentorship, but we could have you in the department for a week or two. And I don't think we ever saw you again for ages. It was literally, I mean, on the last episode, Darren and I were joking about the mystery of labs. Like, I still don't know where labs sit. It's this mystery. I don't know where Darren is in the building, for example, on this call. But it's almost this, we talked about this pirate ship analogy of labs in many ways. So we never really saw you, and you kind of came out the other end as a fully fledged member of the team. Is my memory romanticized, or is that kind of how it went down?
No, yeah, I think I'd always been, had these skills where, you know, I'm creative, but also I have like interest in tech as well. And it was like that convergence of the two where I found my skills to lie. Yeah. And I think that's what led me to labs, especially when I had heard about like their immersive kind of projects that were going on, you know, like the Tate. The work they'd done there. And I just was like, okay, I want to work there. And like my whole goal was, as a runner, just that's what I wanted to do. I don't know, I just had it in my head that I thought this is a really cool department, I like what they're doing.
That's cool. Thank you, Sophie. And Darren, you know, we met the same year because you were in the systems team when I joined, and you helped me out with all kinds of monitor issues and the usual system stuff. And then it felt like, again, really quickly, your career kind of took hold. And you, I remember us, you were one of the first mentees to sign up to the Global Mentoring Program as well. And this isn't an ad for the Global Mentoring Program. I'm just talking about my recollection of our early kind of interactions. And then your career seems to have exploded as well quite quickly. And again, same question. I'm going to ask about your day job as well, Darren, don't worry. But I thought, nice kind of segue from what Sophie just said. You know, am I romanticizing those early days, or was it that kind of, did it feel like a quick ascension?
I think I agree with you in that regard. It was quite quick. I think having only spent about 2 years in Framestore as a whole, then moving into lab so quickly, and I think the responsibility and the challenges that I faced in labs, like all that has come on very quickly. It's been a good change and it's been really positive, but you're right, it has happened in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and your studies were motion graphics, motion design?
Yes.
At University of South Wales?
Exactly. Like Sophie was saying, I also had that interest where I love being creative, but after a while and with different experiences, I got more into technology, which is why I thought, you know, Framestore, be in the industry, be surrounded by creatives, but also systems to explore the, you know, the tech side of things. And then labs kind of just married those two things together. So I think that's where, you know, people with that kind of mindset do tend to gravitate towards this team, or the team finds you somehow, I think.
Yeah, and it's the perfect marriage of like you both said, that kind of convergence of tech and true creativity. It is this, when we do schools outreach, we talk about all the kind of subjects, the whole plethora of subjects, whether it be super technical, mathematics, coding, and then the kids that can paint and draw and have amazing ideas. And there's this wonderful literal convergence of those two skills and abilities that take place in labs. I think it's a really, really great. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation. But Darren, tell me a bit about your day to day. You know, what is your role? Because I see you running around the building when they let you off the pirate ship. But you know, what is your role? What does it entail?
Again, similar to Sophie, it's some of everything. When I first joined, I was doing client demos. I was presenting our CMS system. I was writing user guides. I was helping out with, you know, production with anything that they needed. I handle the internal support for our systems at Framestore, and I also handle the support for the systems in our global client locations. So it's wearing many hats, I think, and not really just sticking to one. But then that's another thing that I've really enjoyed about being in the team. And one of the reasons why I joined in the first place is that I don't like to sit still. And that's probably why you do see me running around all the time. And this affords me that. So I get to try out different things. There's lots of talented, really clever people in the team. And they're always willing to show what they're doing or let you get involved. So I'm always trying to pick things up where I can.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating part of the business for sure. And and your routine, Darren, so obviously I touched on it very briefly in the intro. So you went from kind of systems in almost through, you know, there's a through line to labs. But how did that take place? How did you, was labs on your agenda when you started, or was this something that happened incrementally like most squiggly career paths? What was your journey there?
I'm not sure. I might be romanticizing now.
No, they won't be romanticizing. keep it positive.
While I was in the systems team, I think it was great and I was enjoying everything that I was learning. And because of the reach that kind of, you know, being in a support team in any business has, you get to speak with artists, production. That was how I met you, as you said. That was how I met Johnny as well.
Gotcha.
So just in the course of my day-to-day role. And so when there was a role open in labs that suited what I was currently doing and that Johnny thought I'd be right for, we had that discussion. And, you know, he laid everything out to me, told me this is what we'd expect from you. This is what the role will be like. And I think it came at the right time where I thought maybe I'm looking for a new challenge and I'd like to see, you know, what else Framestore has to offer. Because I think that's something that wasn't as clear at the time. I think that's changing now with some of the work that you're doing, with that Amy and Angie are doing as well, is around sometimes the different paths that are open.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that, you know, as we said before, there were areas of the business where you could be technical and you could be creative at the same time, for someone who didn't necessarily want to be an artist, that is. So it was a good challenge for me, and I think that was how it came about, essentially, just knowing the right people, I think, and the right opportunity at the right time.
That's the cool thing about the mentoring program, isn't it? It's kind of like a new connection. So as I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we got you a production mentor.
Yes, that was after I joined Labs. Yeah, I think, again, because of the new kind of challenges I was facing and the new responsibilities I was taking on, that came at the right time as well, because I needed to, you know, I think I was in a position where the technical skills weren't all I needed. So I needed some of that extra help with, you know, even just confidence and being able to speak to people and how to, you know, manage the day-to-day working with different types of people as well. So that was where the mentorship program really helped me.
Yeah, and we underestimate the, I've just come from an event with Amy and Anne actually talking about kind of, there's a lot of people there talking about the underrated skill of the human skills and the confidence and the communication and the collaboration. And I imagine in labs, because it's a smaller team, the onus on collaboration and communication is like really, really utmost important. But on that, and it's a question to both of you as well, is I've been referencing episode 25 where we met with Johnny and Jocelyn and we talked about labs, and I had my major geek out kind of moments, which I often do on the podcast. But for people listening who haven't listened to episode 25, and they should, absolutely, and we're talking about labs and everything it does, you know, what if you could sum up what labs does in a media friendly soundbite, what would it, what do you do, what on earth do you do in labs? Sophie, maybe you can kick us off.
I don't want to answer this one.
It's all right, it's a safe space, only like thousands of listeners.
I guess we develop in-house a product and we sell that product to clients. That's what we currently do with the content management system. I mean, Darren.
I say in a very media-friendly, you know, clean kind of way, we offer digital signage, or we offer end-to-end digital signage solutions to a range of clients. We're mainly working with corporate clients at the moment, but, you know, that's been changing since Labs first started, and it might change in the future as well, but at the moment the core is the digital signage CMS system and hardware that we offer.
Cool, beautifully put, well done both. Teamwork, that was amazing. Beautiful. Okay, right, so as we're talking about labs, we're talking about what the team does, the world of digital signage, let's open, I think we should need to open the where we drop the dramatic sound effect from on high and we open the Framestore podcast daily. So before we do that, I always like to check with our guests that you're ready and prepared for this dramatic sound effect to appear from on the heavens. Are you prepared? Are you in the zone? Yeah, feeling good? All right. Okay. Well, let's drop the dramatic sound effect. Here it comes. And we are into the dailies. Now, the first question, and you might not be able to answer this, it's a running joke on the podcast because a lot of people aren't allowed to talk about what they're working on. But the question is who, where, what? Who are you? So you have to reintroduce yourself. Where are you? And what are you working on? But only if you're allowed to talk about it. So Darren, why don't you kick us off?
I'm Darren. I am currently based in Chancery Lane in London, and I don't think I can say that I'm working on anything specific. My job is quite constant and steady in the type of work that I do. It revolves around support and maintenance of our hardware, software, and networking systems. So that kind of thing doesn't change too much. Yeah. So I think there's nothing confidential about that, but it's pretty much par for the course.
Nicely answered. Thank you, Darren. What about you, Sophie?
I am Sophie. I'm also in the London office. I work as a junior creative developer. I currently doing a few things. I've got a lot of training and demo sessions with clients, taking them through our CMS, our content management system. We're actually working with marketing at the minute for some changes to our own digital signage. Which that has been quite exciting, and some developing tickets, I guess.
Some creative developing. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it. You know, you've both summed up what you're working on beautifully. But the one thing I will ask, which is our next question, which is how long have you worked here? Now, obviously, I've teased out dates you joined, but I'd like you both to actually go, I have worked here since X. So how long have you been at the good ship Framestore, Darren?
just in February, it would be 4 years now.
Whoa. Yeah. 4 years. Good tenure, that. Sophie?
I've worked in Frame Stores since May 2022, and I've worked with labs for a year and 3 months-ish of that.
Wow. Where does the time go? We need some extra sound effects for that. We have Sam doing the edit, so she has full creative control on the edit, so we could drop all kinds of canned sound effects. Not canned laughter, I'll say canned laughter. And this isn't a comedy podcast.
Sorry, I'll cool it.
Well, where has the time gone, right? It flies by, absolutely flies by. Now, this next question is one of my favorite questions. Now, the question is, how did you get your break in the visual effects industry? So this isn't necessarily the first job you got. And I caveat this on every episode of the podcast. People consider their break at different points. It might not be the first job. It could be a point in your career. It could be the discovering labs. I don't know what it is, but what would you consider to be your break in the industry, Darren?
Can we just, it's strange for me to say exactly what my break is, because I know that I work for Frame Store, but I don't feel like I'm in the VFX industry, if that makes sense.
That's why it's such an interesting question, because people think their break is, oh, it's when I got the job as a runner or I got that first gig. And actually, I mean, I would say my break wasn't when I started back in the day. There's certainly... It's just interesting how people interpret the question.
Okay.
But you're in the industry, Darren. You are, whether you like it or not. So
true. I guess I would say my break into the industry was when I joined Framestore about 4 years ago. I knew that it was an industry that I'd always wanted to be a part of. And after I finished university, I wasn't really interested in going down the artistic route anymore. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I thought that was the end of that dream. But luckily, I did find that there was a, you know, technology-related side of the industry, and that it was quite good. It was quite big and well-developed. So that was when I decided that, you know, it was worth trying again. And I applied to Framestore. Luckily, didn't have to wait too long. And I've been here ever since.
Cool. And out of interest, Owen, you know, what led you losing interest in the artistic side? Was that just a natural thing that happened, or was there something that happened where it was like, you know what, this isn't for me?
I think it was kind of both. I think when I was looking into what kind of work I'd be doing, it didn't really align too much with what I thought I'd enjoy doing. Mm. Funnily enough, I think, you know, the work that Labs is doing back then would have interested me way more than the kind of work that I was coming across at the time. I think it was very, it wasn't too widely, you know, the whole thing with creative development. I only really learned about that after joining the Labs team. So I think back then, I would have loved to go down the creative route in this type of department. But I think I couldn't really see myself being creative, you know, as a 9-to-5 so much back then.
Yeah.
So I wanted something to bridge that gap. And I think that was where I had done some work with technology before. So I thought, you know, this is something that I know that I can do on the day to day, and I have that interest. And so that was where I thought then, you know, doing that in a creative setting I'd have the best of both.
Yeah. That's interesting. And Framestore, how was Framestore on your agenda? I mean, was it obviously suggested as part of the degree you were on, or did you find out about Framestore in a different way?
During my degree, we had different VFX companies visit and talk and, you know, open up recruitment pathways. But I don't think Framestore was. It was when I was looking into, years after I graduated, I was looking at different VFX companies because I knew that I wanted somewhere where I felt like I belonged, as well as just being able to do the work. And so when I was looking, I found interviews with people who'd worked at Framestore, who were currently working at Framestore in different departments as well. And I think that was one of the things that attracted me, where it was, you know, you had people in recruitment, in HR, aside from just, you know, the creative and technical sides of the business, who were talking about their experiences and how they got their start, and, you know, how you didn't necessarily have to be the best, you know, at that time, but just being able to work your way through and learn as much as you could. And I found those kinds of interviews really inspiring. And, you know, seeing that all those people seem to be at Framestore, I thought, you know, let me see if I can make my way there as well. And luckily I did.
Wow. That's so cool. So you kind of picked up on this kind of interviews and all the kind of stuff flying around YouTube and social media, and kind of reputationally, it felt like a place where you felt you could forge your home, which I think is a great way to find out about a company. Thank you, Darren. How about you, Sophie? What was your moment? What was the break in the VFX industry for you?
Similar to Darren, it would be when I first started Frame Store. I just applied randomly. I sent my CV and my showreel and stuff to the recruitment team at Frame Store, thinking, oh, they're never going to get back to me in a million years. And then it was Annie Barlow, actually, that had emailed me saying, oh, do you want to have a chat? And I was like, yes, I would love to. And yeah, as well, obviously, as that it was, you know, coming to labs and given the opportunity by Johnny to sit with one of the developers, Simon, who we work with at the minute, to, you know, show me what they do. It was really inspiring for me. I felt everyone was really dedicated. And so when I was offered the secondment, I was, yeah, really buzzing to get that. And that's when I feel like my first break was, I think.
That was the big moment, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and your routine is quite interesting, isn't it? Because I did my research. You were teaching in South Korea, which is kind of amazing. And you were a freelance visual artist for a while as well. When writing your bio, it's almost like you've lived a whole life before getting your kind of runner position. A lot of people start at runner. And again, I talk about squiggly career paths quite a lot. I love kind of the peaks and troughs of just working out what you want to do. Now, could you tell us a bit about that journey in?
Yeah. Well, I think actually that's why Annie had kind of noticed my CV, is because I'd actually done a lot of creative things, you know, outside of the work that I was doing. As obviously, yeah, I was a teacher teaching English, science and art to kindergarten kids and school kids. And so, you know, that's nothing really to do with the visual effects industry, but it was my work alongside that. I would come home and sit and make music videos. We did exhibitions. I did some work for bars and radio stations. And so it was kind of like that. I'm getting my creative work out in that way, that I think she really appreciated.
That's interesting. I mean, do you think there was some value in, like you say, you've got quite an interesting backstory. Do you think that played to your attractiveness as a candidate, you know, that you have? I want to get into kind of how you started teaching in South Korea, because I think that's got to be an interesting route in anyway. But do you think, and again, for anybody listening, that actually having, you know, we call it being T-shaped, that you're not just your job, you know, it's all these kind of really interesting things that make you you. Do you think that played into your favour a little bit when you were looking for roles, as you say, like any kind of...
Do you mean like the teaching?
Yeah, like the teaching and the visual art and all the kind of... You know, free. So you weren't just kind of... It wasn't necessarily a traditional linear route in.
Well, after my master's, I just felt like I wasn't maybe ready to go into industry yet. I wanted to explore a bit more, and okay, I wanted, I don't know, just to experience something different. And I think that's when I moved to Korea, that was why I was creating a lot of art and different things, because I was so inspired and amazed by somewhere that was so different to where I'm from. I'm from Belfast in Northern Ireland, and which is complete opposite of what Seoul, South Korea was like. And I think a lot of my art was inspired by the things that I was doing or seeing. And yeah,
that's cool. So yeah, so that experience, you know, you took away some creative inspiration from it, you know, in terms of being in another country and it's a beautiful part of the world. Are there any other kind of things that you took from that experience that you still apply today? Any kind of qualities or experiences that were pivotal for you while you were teaching kindergarten kids in South Korea? Cool.
Well, it really helped me understand the way that people in general work. You know, kids, you can learn a lot from them in the way that they interact with each other and interact with you. Yep. And I learned a lot about how to communicate with people. You know, my first day teaching I was so nervous. Even though they're like wee small kids, they were like 5 years old. I'm like, what am I so nervous for? Yeah. But, you know, it's the same, you apply the same kind of skills, you know, if you're talking to a room full of kids or you're I'm on a call now, you know, it's having those communication skills that you can apply.
Yeah.
I feel like that, I found that very valuable.
Amazing. And can I ask a really obvious question, and please shoot me down in flames, but can you speak Korean? Wow, it's awesome. I love that.
I mean, my friend used to laugh at my pronunciation because I don't think I, my Belfast accent is still there a wee bit. But yeah, I'm able to hold small conversations and, you know, order bars and cafes and, you know, ask questions.
Yeah,
and
cool.
And the kids would have like taught me a lot as well, you know, like vocabulary. They used to write me books with like dog, cat, and, you know, all the vocab words that I might come across, which was very cute.
Brilliant, brilliant. No, it's a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Sophie. So next question is the staple corny, cheesy question, but I'll ask it anyway. Interesting to see how you answer it, because everybody always answers it the same. But I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to start with Darren, which is, what's the best thing about being part of Framestore, part of the Good Ship Labs?
Framestore as a whole?
Framestore as a whole, yes. And you can break it down. You can kind of, you know, we can talk about the labs team as well if you want. But yeah, what's the best thing about being part of Framestore?
I feel like everyone usually says people, right?
They do say the people.
I think that's definitely one of the best things about Framestore. But I think, just to give a different answer.
Yay.
I think for me personally, at this point in my career, it's been the opportunities I've had to grow, mm-hmm. just not just professionally, but as a person as well. Not to jump ahead to one of your future questions, but you know, there's been so many people that, you know, I've met and I've spoken to who've just been so willing to give advice and to even give unofficial mentorship that maybe they don't realize was actually mentoring at the time. But, you know, you take on that advice and you apply it next time, and then it leads to something else. And, you know, we said that my career path in Framestore has progressed quite quickly. And I think I definitely owe that to the people who've, you know, been there to support me throughout my journey. And, you know, whether that's managers, whether that's coworkers, people in my department, even just, you know, people that I've met that I've never worked with, but I know from around the building. And I think just having some of those doors open, you know, again, not to put you on the spot, but, you know, you pushed me to do the Access VFX stuff last year.
And that
wasn't something that I'd ever seen myself doing. I don't think I'm very good at public speaking, and I never want to put myself in those positions. But, you know, having that push and you giving that encouragement, I've learned something new about myself, and I feel like it's helped me in other areas of my life and of my career as well. So I think definitely the opportunities has been one of the best things for me.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for your kind words as well, Darren. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's, you both come across as people that have just taken opportunities quite early on. Like, if I look back at when I was your age, now I don't mean mentoring programs weren't really part of my life growing up, but my experience of both of you is you've taken opportunities. Like the mentoring program at Framestore, when we launched it, there was a handful of people signed up, and both of you got in touch pretty quickly and took those opportunities. I remember going back to you, Sophie, and I felt a bit bad going back originally because I couldn't get you a mentor, and I was new. I was like, I must get Sophie a mentor. And Johnny was like, oh, just send her down and we'll see what we can do. And then it all kind of took care of itself. And to Darren's point, you know, you both stuck your neck out and just gone for it. And we touched on this, Sophie, didn't we, when you came and spoke to the Launchpad Insights work experience group as well. You know, that was a big theme of the conversation, is if there's an opportunity there to sign up to an initiative, a program, a mentoring initiative, whatever it is, you know, say yes to appearing on a panel, as you say, Darren, you know, it pushes you out of your comfort zone. But once you ask that question, people are always willing to give you answers and support you. And Framestore aren't necessarily unique like that. I think there are lots of companies, I'm sure, do that. But I think what I've found with Framestore is people are very willing to give their time. And that's why the mentoring program has been so successful. But and again, I'm glad you mentioned the panel we did, Darren, because I remember trying to get you on that panel for ages, absolutely ages. And same with this podcast, and here we are. So living proof. Thank you. Thank you for your answer there, Darren. How about you, Sophie, then? Have you got a different answer to that? What's the best thing?
Well, mine was exactly the same.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, I joke, but you and the rest of the 40 episodes behind us have said the same thing. Please, please.
Yeah, mine was this. Yeah, it was the same. It's just like I find everyone is so willing to help you and kind of push you forward. You know, when I first started, I mean, I didn't really know much at all about the industry and my role, and everyone had said, why don't you talk to this person, give me their details. Obviously, as we've just said, the mentor scheme I find really beneficial, and I've also in labs been given a lot of opportunities. You know, Simon, who took a lot of time out of his schedule to show me his stuff and teach me code. And I think that's, you know, one of the best things about working here is, yeah, because obviously they're all valuable things for me and my path, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And both of your answers have spoken to that ongoing professional development. I mean, it's you are relatively new to industry still, and the career journey you've both been on and what you've learned, and, you know, particularly that, again, that meeting of tech and creativity. I mean, you must be so excited for the future, right? Without sounding hugely patronizing. But I think, you know, you're in a part of the business that is so innovative and so fluid, right? And, you know, it's quite unique as well for Framestore Labs, isn't it? I mean, we spoke about it on episode 25, that it's not your typical go and work on a Marvel show or, you know, a piece of episodic content or commercial work, like this idea of digital signage. And Jocelyn told that great story about you being on the phone to NASA.
Yeah.
His kid wanted to play with him. He's like, just be quiet, I'm on the phone to NASA. I mean, it's just bizarre. And to be part of that must be super cool. I mean, again, this is from the sidelines, but is it as exciting as I think it is?
There was a story as well that just reminded me of when Jocelyn and I don't know, Simon, if you were there, when we were on a panel with like the UK Minister of Media Technology, and I'm just sitting beside him, like wee old me from Belfast. Like, what am I doing here? Why me? It's crazy.
It's mad, isn't it? It is mad. But again, like even like you, Darren, I mean, you swooped off to, what were you doing in New York out of interest? Because all I heard was Darren's in New York. So I'm like, fine, we can still do the podcast, but what were you up to over there?
We deal with clients globally. So sometimes in the course of my role, I do have to be on the ground at some of those clients' offices or sites, because we do deal with, as well as our, you know, software CMS, we do have hardware that we install, and we need to work with the clients and other third parties to make sure that we get all of that stuff working, connected to our systems, working with their systems, get everything tested. And sometimes it's hard to do that remotely, so you do have to be on the ground.
You have to be on site.
Exactly. And a lot of our client base is based in Manhattan, so I've had to go there a few times and get some stuff sorted. But it's always an adventure.
Nice.
Labs, which, you know, you never really know what to expect sometimes, but it's always been good so far.
And speaking of professional development, you're both dealing with clients quite regularly, right? I mean, what are the big client kind of skills that you've both developed? Because again, it goes back to what we spoke about earlier about just going for it, doing the work, taking the opportunities. But dealing with clients is quite a big deal, right? In terms of communication skills, collaboration, confidence, even, I mean, Sophie, you touched on, almost, I would argue, an imposter syndrome of sorts when you're on these panels with these ministers. I mean, what have you learned around dealing with clients? Again, a question to both of you. I'll let the first person to speak take it. These aren't pre-scripted questions, so I'm being very unfair asking you the off-kilter probing questions.
I think from my perspective, you can't really let pride and ego drive what you're doing when you're dealing with clients. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to know when to push and you have to know when to pull back, and you need to, I think, be able to balance those skills quite well and be able to think on the spot sometimes, because I think you will be put on the spot quite regularly. And it's different from dealing with, you know, internal teams where, you know, you can be sometimes a bit more relaxed, a bit more informal. I think, you know, most people at the end of the day are human, and most people, they'll understand where you're coming from. But I think being humble and, you know, sometimes being able to admit that you're not the smartest person in the room or that you don't have all the answers goes a long way, as much as, you know, being the most technical or, you know, having all the skills that you think would be required to solve a problem. Sometimes it is just putting your hands up and saying, I don't know, but I will find out and I will help, you know, get to the bottom of this. At least from a support perspective.
Yeah, totally. I mean, learning humility so early on, I think, is a huge, huge thing to learn when dealing with clients, for sure. I mean, Sophie, how do you learn this stuff? Do you just get thrown into the frying pan and deal with it? Or do you have you got Jocelyn in your corner giving you kind of 101, this is how you deal with clients? I mean, how do you learn this stuff?
Yeah, well, Jocelyn's brilliant with clients. So I feel like I have learned from him, and the way that he can interact with them, I think, was always very inspiring for me. And me and Justin, when we're on these client calls, we bounce well off each other. We work good together in that sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was definitely just thrown into it, though. I remember my first one, I was like, what, me? Why do I need to do this? There's someone else not more qualified than me. but you get used to it. I'm not as nervous as I first was at these calls, but communication and getting your point across in as little words as possible, I feel like, as clear as possible, I feel like has helped me. I can sometimes be a waffler, as you probably can tell.
Not at all. Lots of verbal economy happening on this podcast. It's all good.
Can I just say as well that even though Sophie said she was nervous, that never came through the whole time. And like we said about opportunities, she took those opportunities and she just ran with them. And, you know, like we said, she's come so far in the year that she's been with Labs. But yeah, she's always taken stuff on and she does extremely well. Like she's really talented at what she does.
Thanks, Darren. That means a lot.
Okay, see. It's all the smoke and mirrors. That's all it is. Just got to get up there and do it. But, you know, it's like anything, isn't it? Like when you're presenting or you're pitching, you know, you may be nervous as hell. I mean, I get nervous before doing these podcasts because I just kind of go for it and talk and hopefully something articulate comes out, really. Typically nobody sees what's going on inside, internal. Yeah. So it's about just, like you say, the verbal economy piece is such a massive learning as well. I mean, Darren, you touched on humility. Absolutely. My God, you know, you're not expected to know everything. But verbal economy that you touched on, Sophie, as well, like just knowing what to say, how to say it. Don't go off on any wild tangents. Just stick to the facts. That's what people want, right? Particularly when you're dealing with clients or producers. You know, it's all about right, you know, when and where and how, you know, just avoiding waffle, which I'm totally doing now, by the way. I'm literally on one of my many, many tangents, so I'm going to pull it back in. But great, great answers from both of you. And crikey, we're only on question four, so I need to get a wriggle on. That was the best thing about working at Framestore. I'm talking about client skills. So my next question is, and we can stick with you, Sophie, for this one, is the question we ask is if you could recommend one show or one project or one initiative, whatever it is, that showcases Framestore at its best, what would it be? And we can stay in the world of labs and your world for this. We don't necessarily have to talk about film and episodic or commercials. But, you know, what's the signature labs project you think that you've been involved with today that you'd like to shout about or anything else?
Yeah, probably stick with labs because it's what I know best and what we do best. For me, my favorite labs project was probably the immersive history project that they did for the Tate.
Yes.
Modern. You know, it was kids touching images and they can see the visual timeline of all of the artifacts and stuff in Tate. I thought that was
cool.
Yeah, really cool.
And what was were you involved in that particular project, or was that I can't remember when that one.
Well, that was before I had got there, but I always remember looking at that, being like, "Wow, that's so cool! I would love to get involved with that kind of thing."
No, that's a great, great example, and it was huge as well. I remember seeing a lot of that from afar. I think it was before I joined as well. That's a great example. What about you, Darren? What's a big project that you'd like to put out there?
I think mine would be our current project's the big one, which is the development of our smart signage CMS platform. I joined when we were still, you know, it was developed, but, you know, it's still being worked on, it's still being improved on, it's still being built. And at the time I joined, I was able to, you know, get really stuck in with the testing, with playing around with the system, seeing how it was built on the front end and the back end. Yeah. And I'd never been involved in a project like that before, seeing something be built from the ground up and seeing all the work and effort and, you know, the amount of talent and energy even that goes into putting something like that out there into the world. And, you know, from the time I joined Labs to now, seeing how far that project has come is, I think, one of my favorite things about the department, because you just see, you know, I think it's a good marker of progress. Even if you don't see that in, you know, your day to day, you can look at how far.
And see the journey.
You can see the results.
Yeah, particularly if you're starting from scratch, you're starting literally from a blank piece of paper to where it's at now. And these, I mean, even the big projects that the Labs work on, they must take forever to get off the ground. I mean, they're huge, aren't they? These huge organizations. I mean, if you had to, this is kind of one of my many whimsical add-on questions that I've not shared with you, so forgive me both. But if, because Labs is such a unique part of the business, you know, if you had to show one Labs project to, I don't know, your parents or an alien to say, this is what Labs do, this is a signature Labs thing, would it be something like the Tate, or would it be another project, you know, that truly represents what kind of digital signage and kind of the Labs output is?
I think based on what we're doing now, I think I would probably show the stuff for Morgan Stanley and on the, you know, with the barrel, Darren, and the, what was that called?
Yeah, the signage in Times Square for Morgan Stanley.
Oh, yeah, of course. We'll pop a website link in the show notes for that particular project, because that's a perfect example, actually. Really, really cool. And hopefully as we go through the conversation, we'll talk about, we'll get a few little sneak peeks from what the future holds for Labs as well. If we're allowed to, maybe not. I don't know. Don't want to get in trouble. Well, that was part one. Join us for part two of the Frame Store podcast out this Thursday as Derrid and Sophie continue to take on the Frame Store podcast dailies questions. See you then.